Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
I want you to turn to two openings. God put something on my heart. It was pretty definite this afternoon. John chapter 15 and then 2 Peter chapter number 1. We're going to study tonight probably one of the most vital things in my life that I've ever learned as a believer. Because you can learn about, you know, you can learn about how to overcome. You can learn about faith. You can learn about healing. You can learn about God's provision. You can learn about the victorious life and all the things that God's provided for us. But there's a real key here in John 15 to all those things that we learn, and we want to study it tonight. I'm going to just title this. I'm going to call it The Secret of Maintaining a Living Connection with God. Amen. Because a lot of things that we so desire to see in our lives are the result of the life of God flowing from God into us and maintaining a flow of that life. And so this verse here in John 15 talks about it. These verses, I will just read verses 1 through 8. John 15, 1 through 8, it says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now it says, you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The word purge, I point this out often, but I want to say it again. The word purged in verse 2 and clean in verse 3 are the exact same Greek word. So you could interpret it clean. Now you are clean through the word. Now you are purged that you may bring forth more fruit. So he's talking about purging, but not through tests and trials. He's talking about purging through the word. Amen. How many of you know the word washes us? He talks about the washing of the water of the word in Ephesians chapter number 5. So it's not tests and trials that he uses to purge us. It's the word. He tells us plainly. I'm so glad he put that in there. So we would know. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Praise God. Have you noticed that there is an increase in fruit down through this passage? He talks in verse 2 about bearing no fruit. Then also in verse 2, bearing fruit. Then in verse number 5, verse 2, he also talks about more fruit. Three different levels of fruit bearing in verse 2. And then in verse 5, he talks about much fruit. So you got no fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. How many of you want to go from whatever level of bearing fruit you're on to the next level till you get all the way up to much fruit? Well, what fruit are we talking about? You could talk about this in a lot of different areas. You could talk about the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you know love, joy, peace? If you're flying off the handle too quickly and getting offended, well, there's a key here for bearing more fruit. Amen. Amen. Or you could talk about prayer fruit, because he goes on and he says that, verse 6, he that abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So you can see then, specifically in this passage, he's talking about bearing prayer fruit. I believe personally from this passage of scripture that you can actually get an answer to every prayer you pray. Yes. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Yes. He didn't say you never can tell what God's going to do. He didn't say sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. He said it shall be done. If you do this, it shall be done. Well, then you can't just pray any kind of prayer. You can't say, Lord, give me the moon, or I want the state of Texas. You know, or, you know, something like that. See somebody across the church. Oh, I want her as my wife. You know, I'm talking about things in line with the word of God. Amen. Amen. So that's easy enough. You abide in me, my words abide in you. So the word is his will. But I want to point out something. There's some very interesting things said here. We could take a lot of time, but I want you to see one thing in verse number verse number 5, you know, we talk about always what we can do. We can do this through Christ. We can do this through Christ. How many of you know verse 5 tells us a little secret, though? I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. That's a reality just as much as what you can do with him. Without him you can do nothing. I don't know how many Christians believe that, because if you really look at their lifestyle, they kind of have the idea they can produce something. They can get some results. Well, then maybe temporarily they can, but it never really never lasts. Always something comes along and steals it. But then notice verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Notice that term, is withered. Now, he says, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Well, he's talking about natural branches, but the application is, if we don't abide in Jesus, and that means not just be born again, abiding in him, the first part of that's be born again. I mean, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So we're born again, so we're in Christ. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, we were born again, 1 Corinthians 12, he takes us and puts us into the body and baptizes us into Christ as it pleased him. Praise the Lord. So I'm not who I am because this is what I picked doing. You're not who you are because you picked doing that. It's because that's where God puts you in the body of Christ. And just bloom where you are. I mean, shine where you are. Don't try to be somebody else, because you'll never be the best somebody else. You'll be the second best. You can't be the best Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland, Pastor, or anybody else, or Matt, or anybody else. You can't be as good as they are at what they are. But you can be better at what you are than I can, because you are that. Praise God. Did you get that? Don't ask me to say it again. But thank God, we cannot do anything without him. And without him, or without maintaining a connection, we wither. And he said, men gather them, cast them into the fire. Really, if you study the Bible in Mark 4, he talks about the sowing, the source of the word. He talks about Satan will be the one to do this. Satan is the one that causes you to wither, because you don't maintain your connection. So really, Satan has access to people, not because they deserve it. Many Christians are nice people, friendly people, love God with all their heart, and they have, the question is asked by so many people, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, here's a great revelation, the devil's around. That's why bad things happen to good people. And see, the devil doesn't just stop and get blocked from doing things in people's life because they're good people. Right. You understand that? Amen. He doesn't do things in people's lives because they deserve it. Right. In fact, you might not deserve it. You understand? But he just doesn't do what you, he just doesn't put in your life what you deserve. He does in your life what he can get away with. Amen. And if you don't maintain a connection with Jesus, he can get away with a whole bunch. Yes. Because you're withered and you don't have the strength or the force or the life or the energy, the Spirit of God in you in enough force to drive out what Satan's attempting to do. You don't have enough strength in your faith to resist him. You might know what to do, but you don't have the strength to do it because you've gotten disconnected in your fellowship with God. And I'm talking about fellowshipping with him around his word, fellowshipping with him in prayer. Amen. So I want to talk about that tonight. And I want to talk about this word withered, because the word withered means, he said, without me you can do nothing. And if you don't abide in me, he said, you'll be cast forth and you'll be withered. You'll be withered. It means to shrivel, to lose energy, force, or freshness. Well, we know enough about branches. In the summertime, you cut it off, it shrivels, it loses freshness, the leaves wilt, you know, we know that's what that means. So to wither means to shrivel or to lose energy, force, or freshness. Yes. In other words, it's disconnected from the source that gave it the ability to produce fruit. Either leaves, or if it's an apple tree, apples, or whatever. And you see, that's the source. Your source of being able to produce divine healing, you're not the source of that. You can't get a harvest on your own of divine healing. You can't get a harvest on your own of ability to resist the devil. You don't have the energy. You don't have the force. You don't have the, on your own, I'm talking about, the ability to resist the devil. But if you stay connected to the vine, there's something flowing from the vine into you as a branch that enables you and gives you the power to do anything because you're not doing it in your strength. Remember, the Bible says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Ephesians 6 says, verse 10, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not strong in yourself. People want to be strong in themselves. See, that's popular in our day. Just be strong in yourself. But see, we're not strong in ourselves, because if we depend on ourselves, the Bible tells us what's going to happen. We're going to shrivel somewhere. Yeah. Even the young men, Isaiah says, grow weary and faint. But they that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. Amen. Praise God. I don't believe in being burnt out. Don't believe in being tired. I understand I got to sleep. You understand? There's a natural side to this. But I don't believe in just living burnt out with bags under black bags under your eyes. You know what I'm talking about? I don't believe in living that way. I believe in being vibrant, full of vim and vigor. I believe in being full of energy. I don't believe I got death whenever I got saved. I believe I got the life of God put into on the inside of me. Praise God. Now go over to 2 Peter chapter number 1. You'll see a verse that God has talked to me a lot about this passage of Scripture. A whole lot. I mean, it's just something that almost constantly, especially when I wake up in the morning, the Lord will just talk to me about this verse. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. It says, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I like that, because he's given us all things, the Amplified says, that are requisite. That are requisite. In other words, there's a requisition has to take place here. Praise God. So, I mean, he's laid it up for you, but put in a request for it, or a requisition. If you've ever worked in a factory or something, you understand that term. But then notice verse number 4. Whereby, in other words, by the glory from the previous verse, and by the power of God, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. How many of you know these promises, or the word of God, did come by the power of the Holy Ghost being on people? How many of you know it's in the same chapter, but at the end of the chapter, it says that... verse number 20, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture of any private interpretation, for this prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake, and the word of God was given. So that's why it says this power gave us these exceeding great and precious promises. Well, if the power gave them, then there's power in them. There's power. This gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And the word salvation, my Bible has a little margin by, a little note by it, and says wholeness, healing, preservation, soundness, safety. So this word is the power of God to keep you free from accidents, because it's the power of God unto safety. It's the power of God to wholeness, so it's the power of God to keep you sane in your thinking and your thought life. It's the power of God to healing. The same Greek word translated salvation is translated healing. Yes, so there's healing in these verses. Yeah. Remember Proverbs 4 said, it says, attend to my words. They're life to those that find them. Yes. Medicine. Yes. So these are gospel pills right here. There's a whole bunch of pills right here. I get amazed. Pastor Debbie and I last night were watching the news. First time I think we've watched it in a month and a half, 2 months. We're watching the news. And I don't want you to misunderstand that. I have a satellite radio in my car, and I listen to it on the way home, find out what the news is, and turn it off as soon as I get home, because I don't want to, you know. Praise God. But anyway, we watched it on TV. Usually you can find out enough about 10 minutes, you know, find out what's going on, know enough to, you know, hold an intelligent conversation with somebody about it. But anyway, but we were watching the news last night, and between every broadcast, you know, every segment of their broadcast, they come up with pills and potions and you know, all these medicines, and I'm thinking, my goodness, America is so medicated. But in the middle of it, they say, you know, this will cause diarrhea. This will turn your hair green. You'll get a hernia. You'll get a, you know, I mean, I got all kinds of things. You'll have ingrown toenails. You'll have all kinds. Your ears will grow outward. You know, something always funny happen. In other words, every time I hear them put that disclaimer in there, I think basically you're telling me that ain't the answer. That's what you're telling me. Now, I'm not preaching against medicine, you understand? I'm just preaching that there's something better is what I'm preaching tonight. Gospels, no death in it. You know, chemotherapy, and I'm not against chemotherapy because it helps, you know, it knocks things out. But you realize all it does is kills cells, radiation, you know, kills cells. I mean, that's not the answer. The answer is not putting death in there somewhere. The answer is bringing life in somewhere. Praise God. All right. But he said that in verse 4 now, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. I can come back there and preach to you, Brother Frank. Partakers of the divine nature. Have you partaken today of the divine nature? Because you apparently from this passage of scripture, the life of God, that the nature of God is the life of God. Now, how do you know that? Let's just take this, for example. The life of God is referred to in 1 John, chapter number, First John somewhere, it said that it says the love of God. He said, we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Yeah.
We love the brother. What's he saying? We have the love of God is an indication that we have the life of God in us.
Right.
Well, if I walk in love, I'm acting like God. The Bible says, be imitators of God and walk in love. So I'm acting like God, and I can't do that unless I have his nature, have his kind of love. Oh, some people, you might say, well, I see people in the world that do it. Well, they might can do it for a while, but if somebody irritates them enough,
that's right.
You know, you understand what I'm talking about. You see, the believer has the equipment to do it permanently, forever, to love and never get drawn into the fight. Have we? Oh, yeah, we have, but we didn't have to. You don't understand. We have that equipment. We have that love inside of us. So the love of God is an indication that we have the divine nature. So, but you look through the Bible and you'll find out more about that divine nature. It has to do with the very life and energy of God. It has to do with the power of God as much as it has to do with the nature of God. God's power is part of his nature. He's full of power. So here he said, by the word of God, we're partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. And we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now notice this term partakers of this nature through the word. We partake of it. What is that saying? That's telling me that the life of God is not a permanent deposit.
That's good.
You get that?
Yes.
But it is a constant dependence, consistently renewed by fellowshipping with God around his word by faith. Can you say amen? The life of God inside of your spirit must be maintained. It's not a permanent deposit. Just because you were born again doesn't mean it remains in you in force. Now, the life of God never leaves you completely, but it never really remains in full force unless you constantly feed it. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, abide in the vine. You understand what I'm talking about tonight? Am I preaching all right tonight? Stay connected. Maintain a vital connection. Not just the legal union. The legal side of your connection to Jesus are the in Christ realities. Legally, you're in Christ. But you see, you have to make everything that's legal vital through fellowship.
Right.
How many of you know that legally, you and your spouse, if you're married, or if you know you understand marriage, if you're not, you and that person and their spouse, they are legally in a relationship. They are legally one down at the courthouse. But that has nothing to do with whether or not they have good fellowship or not. You understand? And so the crowning benefit of redemption is that we don't just have God out there in the universe somewhere to talk to, is that we have fellowship with him. He lives on the inside of us. We don't just have a relationship, we have fellowship. We have an exchange. Fellowship talks about and refers to an exchange of love, of life, of the things that are in each person's heart. Fellowship is a sharing of hearts.
Yes.
That's where real fellowship starts to happen. You as a believer have better fellowship with other believers than you do your own, you know, natural family sometimes if they're not a believer. You know, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed?
Right.
You know, we're getting up to Christmas time. We'll be around relatives. How you doing? Good. How you doing? Good. Weather's nice. Yeah, nice. You know, how's the kids? Good. And then you try to figure out what to say for the rest of the day because you're all about God and they're all about hooga mooga or something else, you know. Something that don't amount to anything. You're not even interested in it yourself. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So how can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't sit across the table from somebody who knows nothing about the things of God and just share your heart and the deep, intimate things of your heart, because they'll be like, whoa, you're weird, you know. But see, really, it's just because they don't have the same things inside as they don't have that connection you have. To you, it's a living thing. It's a living reality. You're excited about the things of God, and they can't figure you out. Why on earth would you go to church? I mean, it's Christmas time, and you're going to go to church on Christmas Eve. We're staying home. Why don't you come stay home with us? It's not because... See, how many of you know when it comes to maintaining a connection with God, it's not because you have to do something anymore. It's because, glory to God, I get to do it. And so they're thinking, man, you don't have to do that. Stay home. And you're like, you don't understand at all. This is life to me. This is, I mean, I come out as, I love just, I went, anyway, it's without going into that. You just have to maintain the connection with God. And that's not just church, you understand. Church can help you do that. But it is something that, you know, church can teach you how to do that. But it has to be every day. You know, the outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed every week. No. Once a week, Sunday mornings. No, renewed day by day. Give us this day our daily bread.
That's right.
Amen. The reason people are weak is because they only eat once a week.
Right, yes.
How would you do if you were doing that in the natural, physically, eating one meal a week? I mean a good big meal every Sunday after turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, roast beef, and you just ate big once a week. How would you do come Friday? You wouldn't be doing too hot. You'd know that you're supposed to get out of bed. You're supposed to go to work. But the power to do it, just isn't there. Same thing spiritually. The Bible says this word is food for our spirit man.
Amen.
And that feeds us. See, if the desire for the things of God has waned, it's because that through fellowshipping with God, you develop a desire for the things of God. Have you ever noticed that the more you fellowship with Him, the more you want it? And you ever had noticed if you skip it for a while, the less you want it? And the more of the world you start getting connected to? But you start fellowshipping with God and you're like, why did I skip this for 3 days? It's like, oh, the answers are coming. Life is coming. You know, just things start working. And you can identify with me, can't you? So this, we're partakers of the divine nature through the exceeding great and precious promises. So the life of God is not a permanent deposit, but it's a constant dependence. You should constantly be drawing on it day by day. Amen. You should constantly renew it. The life of God inside of you must be maintained. Now, think about, you can just write this down, I won't go there. Genesis 3:8. The Bible talks about what Adam and Eve had before they fell. And then whenever they sinned, God came walking in the cool of the evening. And He said, Adam, where art thou? Remember, Adam said, I knew I was naked. I hid myself. And God said, who told you you were naked? And He said, you know, did you eat of the tree? Of course they had. So God, what happened was the fellowship that God and Adam and Eve had together was broken. So what we see was God's original plan for man was that man have fellowship with Him. Notice He came in the cool of the evening. I believe, in fact, go over to Isaiah. I believe you're going to Isaiah. While you're turning there, I'll say this. Go to Isaiah chapter number 50. I believe that God's plan, according to things I see in the scripture, is that man, really ultimately, is that he fellowship, that he be in complete contact with God all the time.
Amen.
I mean, just living in communion with God.
Yes. Amen.
But there's some indications in the Bible that morning and evening, we should lay aside all everything else natural that we're doing and give ourselves completely to God. Yes. And separate ourselves and our thoughts from everything else.
Amen.
Now notice in the garden, God said to Adam in the evening, in the cool of the evening, he came and he said, Adam, where art thou? Notice here in Isaiah 50, verse number 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Look at that. God wants to wake you up every morning and fellowship with you before you get going. He wants to open your ear every morning and put something on the inside of you and speak something to your heart that sticks with you all day long. And just like you get up in the morning and you eat breakfast. He wants you to get up in the morning and he wants you to eat spiritually so that that can maintain your day. And then when you get home, apparently, from what he gave Adam and Eve in the garden, he wants you to fellowship again. Do you want to know how to sleep better? Go to bed meditating on the promises of God rather than right after watching some horror thing on the TV or movies or the bad news on the, you know, that's all they say. Basically, it's bad news on CNN. You understand what I'm talking about? Some of it's just data, but you realize this is life. The news isn't life. This is life. I always sleep better going to bed just meditating the Word of God and fellowshipping with God, feeding on it with my spirit. Get a mentality of this is not just the Bible, this is spiritual food. This is like a cupboard that has food in it. It's got everything you need for nutrition spiritually. Food for my spirit. Go to the Bible with this mentality, I'm going to feed my spirit. Because Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So here he said that he wakeneth my ear morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. Amen. So he said he does that morning by morning. I found that to be true. I started seeing that in the Bible and I said, okay, Lord, every morning when I wake up, I'm going to tune into you. I'm going to put up my spiritual antenna. How many of you know your mind's quiet, your body's quiet as soon as you wake up? That's a perfect time to just wake up a little early. And if you want to, just get your Bible right off the coffee table or whatever. Turn on the light or do something. And just don't get moving a whole lot. Don't get your mind on your day. Yeah. Don't just keep, just get in the mental right away. Because especially if you go to bed praying in tongues, when you wake up really all night long, your spirit will fellowship with God. I've preached sermons in the bed at nighttime while I was nighttime dreaming. Yeah. Good sermons. Praise God, good sermons. I thought, woo, that's a good one. Pastor Debbie wakes up sometimes and said, man, I preached a good sermon. Did you get it? She preaches herself. You fellowship with God and things will go running through your spirit. See, your spirit never sleeps. But then especially if you go to bed fellowship with God and you wake up. I found this. If I've had this happen once, I've probably had it happen 1,000 times. Wake up and boom, the Lord speaks something to me right there about my day. Okay, today when you deal with this, I want you to do that. Do this, say this, do that. And sometimes I get to writing it down because so much starts coming. I got to, you know, because as soon as I get up, get in the shower and start getting, you know, thinking about things, it tends to fade away from me what it was that came to me right away. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? So he wakeneth my ear morning by morning. So I got a question for you. Did you get the good report this morning? Did you get the good news this morning? Hallelujah. You wake up in the morning, God will just tell you something. He'll just prompt you on something in the Word. It'll feed you just like breakfast. You had breakfast this morning. Praise God. Amen. So, praise God for the Word. But Adam and Eve, they had to hear the voice of God every day to maintain the presence of God on their lives. I believe that. I believe that would have faded. I believe that glory would have faded because they were not the source of it. You understand? They were clothed. Remember they said they knew they were naked. Why did they know that? Because they had been clothed with the glory, the presence of God. How many of you know it is available to us today what they had back there then? We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, but we can fellowship with it till it comes out and radiates out and glows. Smith Wigglesworth had that happen. He'd walk on a bus and said, my God, you convict me of my sin, you know. Hey, let's go for it in Eastern Iowa. But I believe since that glory was, they were not the source of that glory, I believe that had to be maintained day by day. And that's why they'd fellowship with God. God would come and talk. And when God would talk to them, it would go into their spirit because his words are life. His words are spirit in their life. And they'd go into their spirit and then it would radiate out. I believe the glory would get stronger as they fellowship with God. So they had to hear the voice of God every day to maintain the presence of God on their lives. I believe the presence was renewed every day, morning and evening, by speaking the word to them and fellowship, by God speaking the word to them and fellowshipping with them. Amen. Praise God. How many of you know that that's still available for us today? Yes. So we should maintain the presence of God. Look at your neighbor and say, maintain the presence of God. Don't you like that saying? Maintain the presence of God on your life. Maintain the fellowship with God. You know as well as I do, if you don't talk to somebody for a while, there seems to be a distance start to creep in. You know, you have to maintain relationships to get the benefits out of them. Praise God. So, praise the Lord. We're learning something tonight, aren't we? But like I said, the life of God must be maintained. The life of God is not a permanent deposit. Now, there is the life of God never completely leaves you because you're born again. He made you in his image. However, apparently from Jesus' statements in John chapter 15, there's something we need to understand about this fruit bearing. He said here that without maintaining a connection to the vine, we will not produce fruit. So we still, apparently from what he's saying, we still belong to him and we still have his life within us, but his energy is not flowing through us, so we cannot produce anything. It never permanently or completely leaves, but you have to have it charged constantly. It's like a battery, you know, a car battery, or you know how they got so many things. Your cell phone's rechargeable now. It needs time. You can't just be using that cell phone 24 hours a day. It needs time sitting still in the charger doing nothing but taking in rather than giving out. Isn't that right? And so do you. You're a rechargeable spirit. You have to maintain the spiritual energy and life of God. Burnout is the result of giving out without taking in. That's what burnout is. And even physically. See, the life of God, the Bible says the strong spirit of a man will sustain his physical body. I'm convinced that many times disease is the result of failure to keep the life of God strong in one's spirit, which radiates out into the body. That's, the life of God will heal your body. You can't have God in full measure, in full manifestation in your spirit and it not affect your body. God just can't. God, that's one thing God can't do is hang around death. Because as soon as he gets around, life, everything comes alive as soon as he gets around. In full manifestation. Praise God. I'm having more fun tonight than I planned on. This is shouting. I'm about ready to run around this church. So the life of God inside of your spirit must be maintained. Amen. Your spiritual ear must hear the voice of his voice morning by morning to, so to speak, awaken your spiritual activity and make your spirit active. Yes. Amen. Yes. Now, John, just write this down. You don't have to turn there. John 7, verse 38. You remember the Bible says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, notice that from that statement, Jesus is telling us there's to be movement on the inside of you. Yes. Your spirit is to be getting movement. Yes. There's to be, see, flow is moving. A flow out of your belly shall flow. There's supposed to be movement on the inside. Yes. Amen. Now, you get up in the morning and you get your body moving. Yes. You get up in the morning and you get your mind going. Right. But see, many times Christians don't recognize that they don't take the time to get their spirit moving. And because their spirit is not moving, then the life of God is not moving, because that's where God's life is in one's spirit. Can you say amen? So therefore, they go through their day without their spirit contributing to their day. Or God, through their spirit, contributing to their day. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm getting utterance tonight on things I haven't said for a long time. Your spirit is to be making contributions to your day. Whenever you come up to a place you don't have the answer, you can dip down in your spirit and say, Holy Ghost, what's the answer? And he'll tell you. He'll tell you.
Absolutely, he'll tell you. And so there is to be something coming out of your spirit. Christians get things out of their mind. They get things out of their body. What do they get out of their body? Somebody, says something mean to them and they get feelings out of that, you know. Oh, they didn't do me right. That's out of their body. Well, get something out of your spirit. You're supposed to be getting something out of your spirit. Amen. So you get up in the morning and get your body moving. Get something out of your spirit. Get your spirit moving in the morning. Well, how does that happen? Well, he wakeneth my ear morning by morning. See, the voice of God gets your spirit active. And I don't mean just a letter on the black ink on a white page in a book that says Holy Bible on the back of it. That's no more alive than the textbook that you read in high school English or history. That this is the words on the page are not alive. The words were spoken by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost, there's life in them, but not in the ink. Yes. The words are containers, the Bible says. Right. Words can contain death and life. Those words contain life, but the ink isn't alive. So what am I saying? That those words must be not just, there's two words in the Greek that refer to the word of God. Number one is logos. It is the written word. Number two, it's rhema. It's the spoken word. You want, what I'm talking about tonight, what I'm talking about is God breathed, inspired revelation of the written word that comes alive as he speaks it to your spirit. You need that every day. Every day. You need it throughout the day. You need God to be prompting you, reminding you of a verse that just comes alive on the inside of you. And it is life. That's the way the Word of God ministers to you. That's the way you fellowship with God. That's the way he communicates to you, is by bringing something alive to your spirit. You develop your spirit that's how you develop your spirit, is through meditating on the word until God speaks it to your spirit. Yes. Once it's spoken to your spirit, that and that only is the source of faith. Faith is not just, okay, I read it in the Bible and mentally I've logged it up here. Faith doesn't work out of here. The source of faith is the spoken word of God. Remember, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the word rhema. That's the Greek word rhema. Hearing by the rhema of God. I'm talking about words that God spoke to your spirit during times of fellowship with him. Hallelujah. And if you don't have that happening regularly, you don't have faith for the thing you're saying you're believing God for. You're not in faith. And if it happened 2 years ago, but it's not a living thing today, you're not in faith. Faith has to be fed. Faith has to be nourished. Faith has to be maintained, as you could say, by the life of God constantly surging into it. Because you go through your day releasing faith, and it starts to diminish. Just like you go through the day talking on your cell phone, the battery starts going down.
Right.
You understand? But see, now you got to go back and recharge it up.
Right.
Recharge your faith batteries so that when you wake up in the morning again, just like your cell phone's brand new and ready to go for another day, you're ready to go for another day. Hallelujah. All right. But I want to say some things here. Memorizing love scriptures, memorizing faith scriptures, and knowing about God is not what God's plan, is not the extent of God's plan for your life. He wants you to know him personally. Amen. God has flung the door of fellowship with him wide open.
Yes.
Amen.
He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. This is different than any other. The old covenant, they couldn't come into the presence of God. But you can come right in and God can fellowship with you. He'll take you into himself and you will go into him.
Yes.
And there's a oneness.
Yes.
And that oneness produces exchange. And in that exchange, everything you need goes into you for your day. And you're like, wow! Hallelujah. That is the plan of God in redemption, is that God fellowship with man to the point that the two become one. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Now Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said those kinds of things over and over again. In fact, if you read John chapter number, if you read the Gospel of John, what you ought to do sometime, get a highlighter out, read through the Gospel of John and highlight every confession Jesus made. And you'll find that it centers around, I and my Father are one. It centers around, I am from God. It centers around things like, I can do nothing but by Him. It says, I only say what my Father says. I only do what my Father does. In other words, His confessions, they center around His union with the Father. And then He caps it off in John 15 with the highlight of the whole confession that He made when He was here was, I am the vine, you are the branches. What is He saying? You can become one with us just as much as I am one with the Father. And it can be said of you that if you've seen Carlos, you've seen Jesus. If you've seen Brother Chris, you've seen Jesus. Or any one of us. Ho ho! In other words, there's a plan. The plan of redemption is to blend God and man together so much so that you can't really tell where God stops and where man starts. Because, I mean, you lay hands on the sick and they recover and they go, how'd you do that? Well, it's not you, it's the God in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can you see what I'm talking about? That's the plan of redemption. Communion is the blending together of two into one. And God wants you to take this and make it vital. He wants it to not just be a relationship, but communion to where you're in Jesus vitally and He's in you vitally and there's an exchange and you're doing things that He would do because He lives on the inside of you. Amen. Fellowship is the joy of relationship. What good is relationship without fellowship?
Amen.
What if Pastor Debbie and I got married back in 1988, but we haven't talked since?
Right.
What's the good of that?
Amen.
You understand?
Yes.
Or slept together since. Praise the Lord. We're all adults, right?
Amen.
Hey, I'm glad to have fellowship. Praise the Lord. So the union of God and man is the purpose of redemption. God and Jesus became one. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But see, that's a God-man. And God wants you to be a God-man.
Amen.
Or a God-woman. Amen. You and Him, one. So much so that people see you and they say, how'd you do that? Remember the Bible says, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. In other words, you fellowship with Him so much that you're blended together with Him and you fellowship with Him and He says, today I want you to lay hands on somebody and they're going to be healed.
Amen.
So there are going to be exploits coming out of you because of fellowship with Him.
Amen.
You can't pick apples off of a dead tree.
That's right. That's right.
And you can't pick healing off of a fellowship Christian either.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we're learning, aren't we?
Yes.
So all these things are very vital. Love, walking in love, the ability to do that diminishes as we lose our... I found that to be true. If I don't fellowship with God for too long of a time, my love walk becomes... I become more cranky. You know, I'm like... My flesh starts dominating me. So we want to have the power to put these things into action. But if we don't fellowship, we won't have the power to act spiritually. And we must maintain this flow. Praise God. So the life of God flowing through us has the power to produce fruit.
Amen.
The power is through the connection to the source that is the vine, which is Jesus. Praise God. The power of sin withers when we maintain our communion with God.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says you can't fellowship with God and with devils. In other words, you can only fellowship with one at a time. Well, as you strengthen your connection with and your fellowship with Jesus and with God, what happens is you are strengthening your ability to overcome sin. And what happens is whenever you fellowship with God, sin does not have a life source anymore. I love a story Brother Copeland tells. He said he got saved and, you know, started walking with God in the light he had. Didn't have much light right at the beginning. But he said he had started smoking at a real young age. And so he said he enjoyed smoking until he got saved. He got saved and now he's still smoking, but he didn't enjoy it anymore, so he wanted to quit, but he just couldn't do it. He tried, you know, he went down the highway. He said, okay, I'm going to quit. And he'd throw the cigarettes out the window, and he'd drive for a couple more minutes and squeal the wheels, turn around, and go back and get the cigarettes, you know. He just didn't have the power to do it.
Yeah, right.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well, he said, see, he didn't know how to fellowship with that life and get that. You don't have to defeat sin or defeat habits. Just keep fellowshipping with life, and it'll cut off the source of the sin. You don't have to do it in your strength. Do it in the power of His might. So he finally just couldn't do it. He'd squeal around, go back and get the cigarettes, or at least look for them, see if he could find them. So he said, he heard about a meeting, and I don't remember who was doing the meeting, but it was a Word of God preaching meeting down in Houston, Texas. So he said, he went down there the meeting was 3 weeks long. He went down there for 3 weeks, morning and night, went to church morning and night, and he started learning the Word, he started feeding, he started growing. And he said, after 3 weeks, he was all excited. He jumped in his car to come back home, and he looked above his visor, the sun visor, and there was that pack of cigarettes. He said, forgot all about them. Hadn't even thought about them for 3 weeks. He was completely delivered by connecting in to the Word of God. The desire for it left. And see, that's not just because he's Brother Copeland. That's because of Jesus, not Brother Copeland. He connected into Jesus. And you can strengthen your connection to Jesus. Praise God. Don't you just love God's Word? So the spiritual strength to stand up and act on the Word of God comes from the fellowshipping with God. Amen. The spiritual life of God cannot be stored up like manna in the Old Testament. They had to gather it every day. You have to gather it up every day. Amen. By maintaining your connection to God, you maintain a flow of God into your spirit. I love that statement. The Lord said that to me one day. You maintain a flow of God into your spirit. So we want to continually have God flowing in. Have you ever been to church and the sermon was dry?
No.
I mean, I've been there. Well, see, you forgot. But you used to go to church. There's been times I've come in here and I've not been as sappy. You understand? How many of you can see a difference sometimes? Well, see, I'm like you. I have to maintain my connection.
Yes. Amen.
But have you ever been to church where service has been dry and spiritless? And, you know, you felt like rolling the preacher bottles of water because he's so dry. You know, you couldn't hardly spit. But it was so dry. Ever been? Why? Because that sermon was coming out of a spirit that had not maintained a connection with God.
That's good.
Now, but see, preachers aren't the only ones that can get dry, though. We can all get dry. And then we don't have the strength to do what we should do. You know, we're sitting there after 3 hours, we've been watching TV. We know we shouldn't be doing this. You ever done that? Amen.
Amen.
Don told me about Jim. You know, I'm just... anything else? What else did you say? Where's that list at? I'm just kidding. But you know what to do, but you just don't have the power to do it because you haven't been fellowshipping. And here's something we do. We come home, we have a hard day, and we're like, and we just turn on the remote and just veg out for a while. Well, see, you're not putting anything back into you.
That's right. That's good work, Pastor.
Put some life back into you.
Yes, amen.
I found that if I'll do that first, I don't have an appetite for the TV. Right. Now, I'm not preaching against TV, you understand, but it is a waste of time. If you want to watch TV, go feed your spirit first and then watch TV, and you'll have the strength to push the next channel whenever the things ain't right. But even if you do have the strength to do the right thing, you haven't maintained your connection right, what you do will end up being dry and spiritless. There'll be no life in it. You'll be just going through the motions. You'll be doing it because you have to, and you know up here you're supposed to. Well, see, that's not God. God's best for you is not, well, I'm going to come to the throne of grace because I know I'm supposed to.
Right, that's right.
What if the only time Carlos talked to Ann was because, well, I know I'm supposed to talk to you? Ann what doesn't want that.
Right.
Right? How many husbands and wives do I? That's not what you want.
No.
You want a husband or a wife that's like, man, I just love, let's spend some time together. How about take off day off Friday, you know? And you're always looking for time together.
Amen.
That's different than, can we spend some time together? Well, you know, I guess I do need to, you know. And that's not fellowship. Tolerating each other's presence. Amen. So we lose our desire to do the right thing. Fruit is not the result of great effort. You've never seen an apple tree out in the, or any kind of tree out there, walnut tree, trying to produce walnuts or apples or whatever it is. Your bearing fruit is the result of just maintaining a connection.
Amen.
How many of you know that this is really an easy thing? You don't through great effort produce a better connection. So we want to maintain the ability to produce fruit. Now let's think about what John 15 says, verse 7, talks about ye abide in me and my words abide in you. You'll ask what you will and it'll be done. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So there's prayer fruit here. So we see then that results in prayer are the result of a good connection. I believe in getting prayer results 100% of the time.
Yes.
Now, have I always gotten all the results I wanted? Not immediately, because sometimes I didn't have that good of a connection.
Right.
But since I've learned not to pray about stupid things,
right.
You know, well, I mean, you know, like, Lord, I pray that it would. You know, you're just trying to ask for things that aren't really in your realm of authority. You know what I mean? Other people's realm of authority. I've gotten more results. But I'm shooting for that 100%. Hundredfold every time getting answers.
Amen.
Because I'm asking according to His will. But see, whenever people have what is called sometimes prayer failures, they are the result of a bad connection. Don't minimize prayer failures by saying, sometimes God says yes, sometimes He says no. Don't push it off on God like that.
Amen.
Because He said if we abide in Him and His word abides in us, we'll ask what we will and it'll be done to us. So let's strengthen our connection. Let's not put it off on God and say, well, I guess your life pumping station has failed and there's no fruit here. Amen. So don't minimize prayer failures by laying it off on God or something.
Amen.
Amen. Fruit is not the result of you striving for it. It's the result of a better connection. Praise God. So if you and I are enough in the Spirit, things are produced with ease.
Amen.
Things get hard. Producing fruit is hard. If you remember, I told you on Sunday about the branch I broke off, and it had a little bit of connection, but not enough for the branch to die, but not enough for the branch to continue producing that fruit. Well, that's where we are sometimes as believers. Something has blocked our fellowship with the Lord. Something has broken our connection, and so we want to lay it off on the Lord because. You know, it starts getting hard. It's like, God, why aren't you? And we're struggling. But see, it's easy whenever you maintain the connection.
Amen.
Poke your neighbor and say, fruit is produced with ease.
Fruit is produced
when you maintain your connection.
When you maintain.
Amen. How many of you know, he didn't say, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden and I'll make it harder. He said, come and my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Hallelujah. So yeah, problems come. Just because you maintain a connection doesn't mean problems don't come. That comes to everybody. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. They come to the world just like they come to Christians. Walking by faith or maintaining a connection with God does not mean you won't have any problems.
Right.
But here's what it does mean. It means you'll not have to resist it or stop it in your own efforts.
Amen.
And you're not doing it or going through it alone because He said, I'll be with you in trouble. He said, I'll deliver you and I'll honor you with long life. I'll satisfy you. So it's being with, having God supply, having His life in your life with the force of faith coming out of you to resist the problem. That is different with us. That's what's different with us. It's not that things don't come because, hey, we're faith people. See, we got faith out on our sign. See that? So the devil stays away because we're faith people. No, He comes for the word's sake. But see, whenever He comes, we're not in our own efforts. You might, if you're doing it in your own efforts, you might be able to get results. You might not. But with God, you always will get results.
Amen.
Always, because you're not doing it in your strength. And He didn't just come against you whenever you're connected to the vine. He's coming against the vine itself. Because you're one with Him. Amen. And so you maintain that connection. You're gonna be able to maintain the victory all the time. Praise God. And it's important that you strengthen your connection during times where there's no attack.
Amen.
Don't wait until there's attack to go run and get a better connection. I mean, you're late. You know what I mean? You need to have had constant draw of life into your spirit, even in the good times.
Amen.
And another thing it does when we fellowship with God is that we learn to recognize His voice.
Amen.
And you don't want to be doing that in the time of test either.
Right.
You want to have already been real connected and know His voice real clear, because in the test and the trial, thoughts are coming to your mind like machine gun bullets. Emotions are stirring up. There's a lot of impulses to do this and don't do that, or, you know, and there's a lot of stuff happening that's not happening in the time where there's no storm.
Right.
So that's not the time to try to recognize His voice. Because there's a lot of voices in times like that. A lot of thoughts, a lot of impulses.
Amen.
So develop, if you're not going through anything now, if you are, you can strengthen yourself now. But if you're not, now's not the time to get lazy.
That's right.
Now's not the time to you know, let your connection sort of, you know, kind of wane. But just develop it stronger and stronger.
Yes.
I like a verse in the Old Testament. It says, the righteous increases his strength. You should always be increasing all the time. Increase your connection.
Amen.
Praise God. Did you get anything out of the word tonight?
Amen.
I'm excited because we can sail through tests and trials.
Amen.
Because we're not doing it in our strength. Amen. We're doing it in His strength.
Amen.
I love a story Brother Hagin tells of a man they had in World War II. They were experimenting with the dirigibles. I think you might today call them blimps, you know. You know, hot helium or whatever. But they were experimenting with them. And then they had this one, they had it moored down or tied down. And somehow or another, some of the soldiers were untying it and holding on to it, preparing for something. And a gust of wind came and lifted the thing up. And soldiers started going up with it. And some of them started letting go because they didn't want it to go too high or, you know, falling too far, they'd die. And so many of them started letting go. And some of them even were waiting too long, and they fell to their death. But there's this one guy held on, just kept holding on. The dirigible's way up there, and eventually somehow, I don't remember how they did it, but they got the thing back down. But the man, I think it was a long, long time, like an hour or two, or a couple hours. He just kept holding on, and it was so far up there they couldn't see how he was doing it. Because how many of you know you can't just hold on to a rope indefinitely?
Right.
Says, how'd he do that? But they said, after they got him back down, he said, what I did was, when the blimp went up, he said, I looked down and it was too far. By the time I had the presence of mind to let go, it was too far. So he said, I just decided, well, I'm going to have to hold on to this thing. And he said, he looked down, there was quite a bit of rope underneath him. So he just flung that rope around, tied it around his waist, and just sat up there, and he's just sitting there enjoying the view. How many of you know that's what's called being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? It wasn't him being strong to hold on.
Right.
Whenever the devil causes the wind to blow and you're up in midair and you got something needing to hold, you grab onto that rope in your strength and you're going to let go after a while.
Yeah.
But what you need to do is you need to grab the promises of God and wrap them tight around you. Sit and just look at the view.
Amen.
Just come relaxing in the promises of God. I'm strong, not in my might, but in the power of His might.
Amen.
That rope is like the promises of God. And I'm strong in those promises.
Amen.
And we're not even called to be strong in somebody else's might. Well, I'll go talk to Carlos. He's strong. Well, we can gather strength from each other. But how many of you know Carlos might not be around in the middle of attack next time? So we need to strengthen ourselves in the promises of God. Praise God.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa 52408. And remember, God loves you. You're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.